everyone. My name is Danny Dumas, and this is the Earn Your Title podcast. Today, I'm going to be continuing my thought on being a complete man. If you listened to my podcast last week, I talked about the four areas that I think that men need to pursue in order to be a complete man. Those were the physical side, you know, we need to be in shape. Those were the spiritual side. I think we need to have a connection to God. Those were the family, relationship, emotional side, and then the creative side. And I've been exploring this idea of what it means to be a man and like what those characters are. I recently was listening to a podcast, the Forming Men podcast. It's excellent. I will link that in the show notes. It's by Jefferson Bethke and John Tyson. And these are Christian guys, both pastors, and they are, he gave 12 words that represent what I would say a Christian man would be. And I know not everyone that listens to this is a Christian. So if that is you, if you don't currently have a belief in God, I think this still has some value for you because you're going to know men. And I think as Christian men, we should be reflecting these ideas. And this is maybe a way for you to tell whether the people in your life that are professing to be Christians are truly living up to the expectations of being a godly man. I think these are universal, even if you don't believe, as I do, that there's some things that are bigger than you. And I'm going to share these words that they gave. There's 12 words that define a man. And I think there's some power in trying to hold yourself against a standard. You know, there's it's kind of crazy that in today's day and age that, you know, the question of what is a man outside of just the biology would be controversial. And I'm not here to be controversial, but it blows my mind that you could make the statement, well, what does it mean to be a man? And it's not definitive, at least biologically. You know, Matt Walsh had a special, what is a woman? And that was, there's pushback, like, oh, how dare you? Like that's a very new idea, a very new thought. I'm not here to argue about that, but I think it's something that us as men, we need to maybe have the answer. Like, what does it truly mean to be a man and not just a biological man, but a good man or a complete man or a whole man, or for me, a Christian man, like what that means to be a follower of Christ. So I'm going to share these 12 words and my take on what they each mean. And hopefully this provides some value to you. So the first word is work. I don't think men or humans in general are supposed to sit around and not do anything. I think we are designed to have a purpose, a design to take care of things, to change things, to make a difference in this world. And I think we're designed to have work. And I think a complete man is someone who is working. You know, I don't want to put shame on anybody, but I think as a man who's unemployed, that's a feeling of shame that because something doesn't feel right. I remember back, I had just recently got married and I got a pink slip. I was getting laid off. And that feeling of, you know, as a new husband, we didn't have kids yet, was just, I mean, I did not know how stressed I was until I realized I was no longer getting laid off. It was a bad feeling. I think that's deep downside because I think we're supposed to work. You know, you find someone who has a successful career or fulfilling career, that's usually a happy person. That's usually a happy man. So working, while we, you know, I think a lot of us get this idea, like, I can't wait to retire. I can't wait to, you know, not have to show up to the man. I don't think that's the way we're supposed to live. I think the people who do best in life continually have something that they're working towards. Now, getting paid doesn't mean, you know, you don't have to get paid to be working. And I think, like, I know guys, firefighters, that we can retire really young. We can retire at 45 years old if you started when you're 20. And that's crazy to think you'd have this, you know, a huge long period where you're no longer employed. The guys who go home and sit on the couch are miserable. They lack purpose. They get into heavy drinking. They have all these problems is because we're not designed to do that. You can see that in Hollywood. Very young men make tons of money and they get into tons of trouble, tons of problems because they're not actively going out and doing something, making the world a better place and working. So I think work is important. Second word, keep. Keep is important. What does this mean? I think we're meant to keep the bad things away from our family. bad things away from those that we love. I truly believe that as a man, and if you have people that you're responsible for, you're the gatekeeper of what comes into your life, into your family's life, into your house. That could be the music you listen to, the movies you watch, the political commentary that you ingest. And I think it's I think it's okay to get varying forms of different people's opinions. I'm not talking about isolating yourself in an information bubble where you only hear things that you agree with. I'm not that at all. But I do think, especially when it comes to our family and our kids, we are the gatekeepers and we're supposed to keep them safe. Now, that could be from negative people. That could be from bad information. That could be from the physical harm of locking the door and keeping bad people out of our house. But men are supposed to keep. We're supposed to keep out the bad. We're supposed to let in the good. And maybe gatekeeper is a better way. You know, let's bring good into our life. Let's bring happiness. Let's bring fulfillment. Let's bring joy. Let's bring, you know, all these good things. But let's keep the bad out. Stand at the door. Guard your family. It is not your wife's job. I don't think our wives are meant to do that. Now, I think they can, and they're very good at it. But there is some responsibility as a man to be the protector of the minds of our kids, the protector of the house of our kids. And I think we need to keep the bad things out. And I know I feel that responsibility. Like when I'm in the mall as a husband and as a father now, it was different than when I was a single guy. When I was a single guy, I'd walk around, you know, not oblivious, but I just wasn't worried. I wasn't worried about things. Now I go to the mall and today's current climate with active shooters, I'm thinking about that. It's the reason I would carry a gun with my family, but not one when I'm by myself. It's because I feel the need to keep them safe, to keep them protected, to have the tools to do that. So men, I think we're supposed to be keepers. We're supposed to be keepers. The third word is Lord. I think we need to have a Lord over our life. I think we need to pick who that is or what that is, because I think as humans, we have a natural desire to serve something. And if we don't have a higher power, we end up serving ourselves, and we can be very selfish people. We can be very selfish. You know, we could be pursuing the things like, you know, the sex, the power, the money, those things, because we don't have something higher. We don't have something a bigger purpose. A bigger goals and dreams, something that inspires us outside of our own selfish nature. I think we need something bigger. We need a Lord. And I think for me, that's Jesus. For you, it might be something else, but I think all men need to have something that's bigger than themselves. This could be also said purpose, right? Something that is outside you that you're willing to be selfless, that you're willing to sacrifice, that you're willing to do things that maybe are uncomfortable because there's something bigger than you, that those things matters. Kingdom. Kingdom's the next one. What are we producing? What are we creating? We're creating this kingdom for what? For who? What kind of kingdom are we creating? It's the world. Like, what kind of world are we creating? I think to be a complete man, we should be changing the world, or at least our world. And I realize that the world is giant. You know, I don't know, we're at 6 billion people now. And I can't change the world, but I can change my world. The kingdom that I'm living in is something that I have control over. The world that I'm making, I have agency in doing that. And I think that's powerful to know that you have the ability to change your world. And for me as a Christian, that is to promote and progress the kingdom of God. But when you don't have something, and I guess this Lord and kingdom are pretty synonymous, you're producing self, you're producing selfishness, you're producing these other things because you don't have a bigger purpose, a bigger goal, a bigger dream. So kingdom is the next one. Nourish. I think this goes down to how, as a husband, how do we take care of the women in our lives? How do we take care of our wives? Are we nourishing them? When you think of, you know, if you're going to plant a garden, you're going to feed, water it, make sure it's got the right amount of sunlight, make sure it doesn't get too much. I think that's what we should be doing with our wives. We should be giving them everything they need to thrive, that we should be making their life easier, that we should be giving them a life of of abundance if we can. You know, I think we should be nourishing. We should have an active role of how do I make my wife better today? How do I make her happy today? How do I, you know, fill in the blank today? And that makes a complete man. We recently had one of my school teachers passed away, and she talked about, you know, in the funeral, everyone talked about how much she loved Tim Hortons and how every morning she would get Tim Hortons coffee. And then someone said, well, you know, really, and it was Miss Barton, if those of you that know, Miss Barton really loved Tim Hortons. And someone said, well, really, we should be, you know, talking about how much Larry loved going to Tim Hortons, because Larry Barton, her husband, would go every morning and pick her up Tim Hortons so she didn't have to. She didn't know how to pump the gas. I'm sure she knew how to pump gas. She didn't pump gas because her husband would take her car on the weekends and go fill it up, so she never had to get out of her car when it was 3 degrees outside. He was nourishing her. And as men, I think that is awesome. You know, I think it's good to have a strong, independent wife that can do all these things. But man, what a complete picture of manliness for us to say they don't need to. I don't need you to go pump gas because I'm going to nourish you. I don't need you to worry about these things because I'm going to nourish you. So nourish, I think, is a very important part of husbandry and manhood. Cherish. That's another word. Enjoying your family, enjoying just the simple times, you know, to sit on a couch with your little ones and hold them and just have them look at you. I don't know if you get these experiences. I've got a 6-year-old, and so my older ones don't do this anymore, but I can just pick her up. We can sit on the couch and we can just hold each other. She just lets me squeeze her, and I cherish those moments. And it's really easy in today's day and age to get distracted. Social media, the news, work problems, all these things. And I found myself sitting on the floor playing and I'm looking at my phone. I'm not cherishing these moments and they're going away. I've seen that with my older ones. I don't get those moments with my older ones. Cherish your moments. When you're going to the soccer game and it's raining and you see your daughter playing as hard as she can, cherish that misery, right? Because it's, you know, soccer, right? Who likes soccer? Cherish that, you know, cherish those memories. I think that's, you're going to look back and if you can see that in your life, you cherished moments, that you cherish experiences that you just weren't trying to get through to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. That's a complete man. That's a whole man that you can slow down and cherishing. I think having that spirit of to cherish moments, it gives you an outlook on life that today is good, right? The world is crazy, man. Right now, the world is just nuts. There's, you know, the wars and all the bad things and active shooters and all these things seems terrible. But in my life today, I can cherish these moments. I'm going on a trip this weekend. We're going to go to Ohio to see the path, the totality of the solar eclipse. I'm going to cherish this moment, right? Because right now it's good. I'll be very honest with you. This week that I've had personally was really bad, really stressful, really just some very uncomfortable conversations and things happen. But today I'm going to get in the car with my family and I'm going to cherish those moments. And by being able to do that, I'm going to be a more complete person because I don't have yesterday. What happened this week doesn't matter anymore. What was going to happen in a couple of days doesn't matter, but I can cherish these moments right now. And that is good. Train. I think it's our responsibility as men to train our children, to give them physical skills to actually do things. And you know, the next word I'm going to talk is instruct. I think that's knowledge. You're instructing them in knowledge. But I truly think if you have kids, like my son now knows how to change a tire because I showed him how to change a tire. We got the jack out and my tire wasn't flat. I felt it was important that he knows how to get the jack out, raise the car up, take off the tire, put it back on. That's a skill. I think it's important that my daughters know how to do things around the kitchen. I like to cook. So me and my oldest, she made sourdough bread the other day. That was just amazing. I gave her that skill. I instructed her on that skill. We can't rely on YouTube to teach our kids. We can't rely on the teachers at school to teach our kids. Now, I think that's part of the process, right? And it's good. Hopefully you have loving teachers that are going to give them things, but there's some skills in life that they need. I'm going to go see my nephews, and I got them all fire starters, and you know, the ferro rod, and I taught them how to create fire. Now, one, I cherish that moment, right? That we got to show a little boy or a little girl how to create fire. That's an amazing moment where they spark something and then they get this fire going. That's awesome. So I'm cherishing that, but it's an actual skill. All my kids know north, south, east, and west, because I always ask them, hey, we're going south right now. Which direction is behind us? North. My youngest just assumes every direction we're going right now is north, but she has the right order. You know, if you're going north, you turn right, you're going east. She understands that. She hasn't figured out that every direction we start in is not north, but we're getting there. She's only six. Skills. We need to train our kids to be successful people. Every generation looks down on the generation before them. You know, there's lots of, boomers that complain about millennials can't do things, or Gen X complains about Z that they can't do things. Well, that's the generation before. Like, if your kids don't know how to start the dishwasher, that's your fault, right? You have to train them. How are they going to get this magical information? At work, we have, we use a lot of power tools, chainsaws, things that have small motors. And guys are complaining, this new generation doesn't know how to start a chainsaw. Well, show them. Show them how to do it. Don't get upset when they don't know something. If they've never been exposed to it, how would they know? It's our job as the generation before to train, give away skills. And understand they're going to be really bad at these things. So train your family, train your kids, train. The next one, instruct. I think of instruct as sharing knowledge, sharing philosophy, sharing things that you think about. And as you're growing up, I find this easier to do with my son, because being a man, I kind of know the way things are. And I don't want to ever be preachy with my kid. It's from, you should do this, then this way is right. But I like to find teachable moments and instruct, give them instructions. You know, I was joking, we were talking about, you know, at someone asked a girl out or whatever, and I said, Levi, listen, this is an amazing point here. Don't ever be afraid to ask someone out that you'd like, because the worst thing that can happen is that you don't get a date, and you already don't, right? I'm instructing him on the power of taking his shots, right? You know, Wayne Gretzky said, you miss every shot you don't take. That's instruction, you know, and that could hopefully change his life. He might go after a 10 when he doesn't think he's able to go after a 10. And this is a good, kind, beautiful young woman. And because his dad said, hey, buddy, you miss every shot you don't take. And I keep telling him that no matter what it is, whether it's a job interview, whether it's, you know, going on a date with a girl, whether it's getting an opportunity to go on a trip or something, because you put yourself out there, that's instruction, right? We need to instruct our kids. We need them to give them knowledge. We need to share beneficial philosophies. We need to show them that, you know, tell them that being late is rude. We need to tell them that staying out of debt is important. I just watched a video where a girl didn't understand credit limit and credit debt. She thought it was a good thing that she had used her credit, like by spending money. Look, I used my credit. That way I can build my score. And she didn't understand, as a college age person, that she owed all the money she spent. Now, it just blew my mind that there could be such a disconnect, because she thought she was doing something good. It's good to build your credit. So by using your credit limit, it is a good thing. And then her mom had to say, no, you owe all that money. You're now $4,000 in debt. That's bad. Oh, well, her parents failed to instruct her. So we need, as men, to instruct our kids, instruct our family. Let's talk about love, right? There's two words for the love category: enemy and neighbor. Everybody can love your kids. Everybody can love your wife. That is easy. But can you love your enemy? And this is definitely a Christian take. This idea of loving your enemy, it's what changed the world. It's what is the reason we split time at Christ, right? Because that idea of loving your enemy is tough. And it's definitely not an easy, it's very anti-human, right? It's something that we have to change inside of us, is to love our enemy. Because, you know, enemy is one word and neighbor is the other one. Obviously, we need to love our neighbor, those people around us. And that's a lot easier than loving our enemy. Loving your enemy is the key, one of the key points of Christianity, that just because you're different, just because I have diametrically opposed views, doesn't mean I can't love you. No, it doesn't mean I have to agree with everything you do. And I think sometimes we feel like it is, like, if I don't agree with you, I can't love you. But you can. You can love people. And love is an action. It's showing grace, showing kindness, showing caring. I have a friend, and he can be kind of hot-headed. We were talking about arguments and getting in fights, and I just, like, try being overly nice next time you get in an argument with somebody. And it happened at work. There was an event happened, and someone accused somebody of something, this guy of something else. And he said, you know, I just sat there. I'm like, and I listened, and I didn't get upset. And the other guy just got madder and madder and madder. And to the point where he's screaming and yelling. And the other guy's he finally stood up because he thought it was going to get physical. And he's like, I won because I stayed calm. I was like, yeah, it's amazing. Like loving your neighbor is the ultimate defense. It just disarms people when someone can be so mad, so angry, and you can be happy and you can be cordial with them. It is the ultimate defeat of someone who's angry. So loving your enemies is a Christian take that is probably the hardest, but it's something that makes a man who's comfortable in himself, a man who has a higher authority that knows his purpose in life, knows his work, can love his enemy because he's confident. And then the next one is neighbor. You know, being a community person, realizing that a better life is a life lived loving other people, living a selfless life is what makes people truly happy. You know, when you're selfish, that is a very normal way to live. But I think stepping it up is when you decide that, you know, I am going to love my neighbor and love my enemy. Almost done. We got two more. Glorify is what humans, I believe, were designed to do. Now, I think as a Christian, glorifying God is what I want to strive for, but we're going to glorify something. And you can see this with men in sports teams and, you know, race car teams. They want to exalt something, and their life is wrapped around the success of something else. I think that's a natural tendency. That's what we want to do. We want to wrap our life into something else and push it. And I love sports, but if your life is better or worse based on whether your team wins or loses, you're glorifying the wrong thing. You have to find something that you can glorify that is good. And I believe that would be God. Glorify God. That's what we were designed to do. Because if we don't glorify God, we're going to glorify something else. And when we glorify something else that's not a pure thing like God, I think that's when we fail a lot, because then it's dependent on something like a sports team. So glorify God. And the last one, I think this is awesome, is to enjoy. Enjoy your life. You know, life is hard. This week has been very hard for me. But I need to find moments where I can enjoy. I think we're meant to, and you know, if you're the negative person, if you're the unhappy person, you're a hard person to be around. And if you are currently breathing air and are conscious and can listen to this message today, you are doing way better than lots and lots of people. Millions and millions of people are dying every day, and you have today, so cherish it. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your life. Enjoy the little pleasures. You know, you might have a hard day at work, but you get to drink a warm cup of coffee in the morning. Enjoy that moment. We're supposed to be, I think, joyful. Like, as a Christian, I've been around people that are miserable. Like, why would anybody want to be a Christian like you? If you are a Christian, I don't want what you have. As a Christian, the people around you should say, you're different, and I want what you have. I want that joy in your life. I want you, and you should be, you know, just, you should be a happy person. Now, we all have, you know, I'm not saying there's obviously mental illness that causes depression, causes things like that. I'm not talking about that. If you're a healthy person and you're trying to step up your game, you should have joy in your life. You should be able to enjoy the hard things. You should be able to enjoy the easy things. You should be able to enjoy all these things. So those are the 12 words. I'll repeat them just so you can hear them again. Work, keep, Lord, kingdom, nourish, cherish, train, instruct, enemy, neighbor, glorify, and enjoy. And I'll leave you with a quote from Marcus Aurelius. It says, "Waste no more time arguing about what a good man should be. Be one." And as you know, I always encourage you to go out and earn your title. Earn your title every day. Be the best husband, father, and leader that you think you can. And if you need help doing that, I would really like to connect. I'm looking for three guys that would just want to excel. They have a goal. They want some accountability. So I'm going to leave my contact information in the show notes. Reach out to me. Let's get together. Let's connect. And I want to help you get to your goals. My name is Danny Dumas, and this has been the Earn Your Title Podcast, and I will talk to you later. Bye.